This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Welcome to the show, and thanks so much for tuning in. We continue our series on death and dying in the 21st century by turning our attention today to the growing field of palliative care. This kind of medicine actively cares for people with life-threatening and terminal diseases, working to effectively transition between treatments focused on a cure to managing symptoms in order to maximize the quality of life and also respect patient wishes. The field began in the early 90s and grew out of the hospice movement to fill a gap in care for dying patients who weren't ready or didn't yet qualify for hospice. Wisconsin's own Dr. David Weissman was instrumental in the growth of the palliative care movement. He started the Palliative Care Center, a joint venture between the Medical College of Wisconsin and Froedtert Hospital, almost 20 years ago. Now, neurologist Dr. Wendy Peltier is the latest director of the center. She says this form of care is more than just pain management. It also includes counseling families, advising doctors, and addressing the physical, spiritual, and emotional needs of a patient to reach their goals at the end of life. She tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce how this area of medicine has grown.
As many people know in the community, Dr. Weissman has really been a pioneer and a founder of palliative care medicine nationally and has certainly been a leading researcher in the field since its development. If you talk to David, he will tell you that much of his career has been spent swimming upstream and going across many barriers to try to get palliative care more recognized as a discipline and, most importantly, palliative care for patients who are experiencing symptoms or caregivers and families experiencing distress at the end of someone's life. What is happening now is we have the new generation of palliative care medicine across the country, where previously palliative care was mostly focused on hospice and end-of-life care, and now we are practicing so-called upstream palliative care, where patients and families are meeting with palliative care specialists much earlier in the course of their illness. And what we are seeing across the board here at MCW is a much more welcoming presence for palliative care to be involved with patients and families in multiple subspecialties. So if anything, we're having a little trouble with workforce in keeping up with the demand.
How do we define this up-and-coming version, the upstream palliative care that you talked about?
So upstream just means that palliative care specialists will meet with people before they're actually actively dying, or, you know, try to meet with them in the last years to months of an illness if they have a serious chronic illness where death is anticipated. For example, some of the new work that's been done in advanced lung cancer shows that patients who meet with a palliative care specialist at the same time as a treating oncologist who have advanced lung cancer that is not curable actually will live longer. And this is for patients who are getting chemotherapy and all the other state-of-the-art treatments in tandem with just that opportunity to meet with a palliative care specialist for symptom management, goal setting, and focus on quality of life.
Is there a growing need for palliative care, or is it just that it's getting more attention and so more patients are turning towards some of these options?
Well, I would say my answer to that is two things. One, I think because of the advancing technologies in medicine and all the different therapies we have for life-threatening diseases like cancer, patients are certainly living longer and living well with serious illness, and care has become very, very subspecialized. So as opposed to the older model of the family doctor who may care for someone across their lifespan and do home visits and be involved in every aspect of their care, many patients who are very sick now find themselves with a doctor for every organ in their body. They have their kidney doctor, they have their neurologist, they have their cancer doctor, they have their primary care doctor. And I think palliative medicine is really kind of back to basics in the sense of being very holistic and very focused, like family medicine, on the patient in the context of their family and their own community. And palliative care tries to be the glue that kind of adds an extra layer of support, not only to the patient and family with a serious illness, but actually also to all those specialists who are trying very hard to keep a balance of the patient's quality of life.
How much interest is there for new doctors to specialize in this area?
Well, that's a little bit hard to measure. 2012 is a banner year for board certification in palliative care. So as of this year, there will no longer be a grandfather track for physicians to get certification without doing a one-year fellowship in the discipline. And right now there are a large number of physicians who are sitting for that exam who also practice in other disciplines or maybe mid-career physicians that are shifting their practice emphasis. So I think we'll have a little bit of a difficult time measuring that over the next couple years. Actually, interestingly, led by Dave Weissman, there are some national work groups looking at workforce planning for palliative care. So really the growth in the field has been somewhat exponential. And one of the things that's also very unique about palliative care is it really is a team-based discipline. So I, as a palliative care specialist, can do a certain amount as a physician, but I can do even more when I'm partnered with a nurse, a case manager, a chaplain, a psychologist. And the big philosophy of palliative care is that that layer of support is multidisciplinary.
Well, and I would imagine, too, that for doctors who are specializing in particular treatment areas not related to palliative care, that they, too, still have a working knowledge of what options are out there. I mean, ultimately, don't all doctors experience having a patient for whom there can be no more treatment?
Absolutely. And we feel very strongly that all, and I actually myself have been a neurologist, a practicing neurologist for 15 years, and a lot of my work has involved elements of palliative care. So this is where sort of another term that Dave has used is there's sort of the specialist and the generalist palliative care physician. And I think all physicians can practice general palliative care medicine. I think that the palliative care specialist tends to come in when things are particularly challenging. And challenges at the end of life can evolve around treatments. For example, a patient with very advanced cancer who may qualify for an experimental drug and is trying to balance the side effects and the risks of that versus letting nature take its course. There are also times, unfortunately, where there are ethical problems and family conflicts and other things where the so-called generalist palliative care physician may need to call for help.
How important is the idea of goal setting in these conversations you have with your patients?
Well, goal setting is the new catchphrase, and goal setting is something that a generalist palliative care physician as well as a specialty palliative care physician could do. And goal setting really tries to capture when you're at a fork in the road, when either your health is changing because of a terminal condition like cancer, or whether you're at a situation where you have certain treatments involved but that you could accept that those treatments carry significant risk. Goal setting is actually sitting down, again, just like advanced directives, and having conversation. But conversation about what is important to a patient and their family, what are their goals and values about life, their community, their religion, and how do we take what's happening with their health and set realistic expectations for what the next steps might be. So goal setting often happens when there's a time that healthcare treatment plans may be taking a different direction. For example, someone who's in an ICU and in heart failure may decide that they're not wanting to go that next step with invasive treatments and they want to more focus on comfort. And that goal setting conference will result in a significant transition in the patient's care for sort of a comfort-based plan of care versus an ICU plan of care. And this is often very challenging, which is why there are certain skills, mostly communication skills, that come into play to help families and patients in this situation.
Well, how do you counsel new doctors learning about this area to have these conversations and to be able to sit with their patients and make that decision that it's time to take one course of action versus another, that transition between cure and symptom treatment?
Having these conversations is very challenging emotionally and professionally. And the good news is that with careful time and practice, all physicians can learn these skills. It's something that I think needs to be done in small steps and done very carefully. Certainly, we have residents and students rotating with our team all of the time. And when we bring them along to difficult conversations or family meetings, we challenge them to take note of what is difficult, what goes well, what doesn't go well. And there's a huge amount of literature and research out there about you know, how to have these conversations, even just opening phrases that people can use to kind of start navigating these areas. But it's certainly something that is not recommended for the novice without support.
I would imagine there's a certain amount of finesse that's involved in timing these conversations and in determining the course going forward for a doctor to make.
Right, absolutely. And these things take time. That's been one of the wonderful blessings for me, being able to devote my time to palliative care. In palliative care medicine, it's expected that this will take time, and sometimes we just need to sit with patients and families. And in the rush of medicine, which is certainly clear in the hospital-based medicine as well as in subspecialty medicine, unfortunately, conversation and time is not often valued or reimbursed for that matter. So one of the wonderful things about palliative care is we embrace that as being part of the job that we do. And we try to do that well. And in spending that time and working in tandem with other physicians that might be caring for that patient, I think in a very holistic way, we can really enhance the quality of their care.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what palliative medicine really is. I mean, it's more than just going into a hospice. It's all the steps that are taken before that happens or a patient does, in fact, die. So what are some of the parts of palliative care that really a lot of people aren't aware of?
Well, maybe I can just give you some examples from my daily practice, my weekly work, because it really is quite a spectrum. I have to say it's really an incredible honor and an incredible gift to be able to have this skill. I find it so enriching because I feel like we are there really to bear witness to the love between families and the support that families give each other at times of severe need. And we're also there to help people honor their wishes. And we get to do really fun stuff. So, I mean, a lot of times patients have very specific things that they want to do at the end of their life. They have their so-called bucket list. And I cannot think of a happier challenge than helping patients meet some of those needs at the end of their life. I've had a few patients who, for example, wanted to go skydiving or ride in a hot air balloon, and I tried to rally around that wish to make it happen. I've had other patients who are sicker who simply want a pet to visit in the hospital or want to spend time with certain friends or family or want to have a birthday party. Actually had a patient last year who wanted to get married and ended up getting married in an intensive care unit. He's probably part of a very elite club of people who have been married in an ICU. And obviously it was very sad and stressful that he was dying, but it was incredible to be able to be part of that, helping him actualize one of his last wishes.
What about from the patient's side? I mean, what is their reaction when you get brought in on a case? I mean, is it at that point that they've talked with their doctor and they understand that, you know, certain treatments are no longer going to be working? I mean, how do you get brought in on a case where you're being sensitive to a patient's desire to either go forward with more treatment or not?
Well, sometimes that can be very challenging. Like I said, there's still a fair amount of stigma about just the words palliative care, and particularly the word hospice. And I think one of the struggles that physicians have in referring patients to a palliative care specialist is they feel like they're telling the patient there is no hope, or they're telling the patient that, you know, they're no longer going to be treating them. And I would say a lot of times when we come in, kind of reminds me of my early days as a neurologist, that there's probably not a lot of good reasons to see a neurologist or any neurologic diseases that anyone would want to have. So I'm pretty used to seeing a very frightened person when I walk in the room. And often that happens with palliative care consults. There's a fair amount of apprehension on the patient and the family's part when a palliative care consult is called. I would say that it's variable. It depends a lot on the medical background of the patient or family and their understanding. And we see all ends of the spectrum. I mean, there are times when we're sent away and we're asked to leave, and we do. There are also times when patients and families specifically request us, even if the primary team hasn't considered involving palliative care.
How does palliative care reduce some anxieties for some patients?
I think a lot of it relates to control. I think that many patients who are severely ill or facing the end of their life or going through difficult treatments, many of them have active symptoms that are hard to manage that affect their quality of life. So I would like to think that involving palliative care gives them the sense of getting added support and control. I think a lot of it, too, is about communication. And many patients maybe don't completely understand what's happening to them or understand choices that they may have to make. So I would like to think that we're a non-threatening presence. Certainly, we never go into a patient or family's room with an agenda. Really, we're there to kind of be facilitators, to help streamline communication, to help manage conflict, and really to support the patient.
Well, Dr. Wendy Peltier, thank you so much for speaking with us about the Palliative Care Center.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Wendy Peltier is the director of the Palliative Care Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin and Froedtert Hospital. She's also an associate professor in the departments of neurology and medicine. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce as part of our Death and Dying in the 21st Century series. You can find more of those segments at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, we'll get an update on the progress of the ongoing Milwaukee Soldiers Home restorations. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.